السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله bless one and all. Allah accept us with His deen. Alhamdulillah. We are in this time we are living in. May Allah bless us and enable us to safely, peace, perfectly with our iman, face these challenges. May Allah make it easy for us. May Allah make it easy for the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the lands of Sham and in the lands of Palestine and throughout the world. Alhamdulillah. May Allah help our ummah in Sin. May Allah help the ummah in Somal. May Allah help the ummah in Africa. May Allah help the ummah in Hind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the ummah in Sham and also specifically Gaza, which is also part of Sham, and throughout the world. May Allah help us improve. May Allah help us increase. May Allah help us analyze and handle situations correctly, wisely, and in a manner that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in a way that will emulate our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. We were to discuss, alhamdulillah, certain sahaba radiallahu anhum that were in that region of Sham, and they passed on in Sham. So we think in certain days we'll do that, inshallah. We are in discussion of the Anbiya alayhimus salam and the way the Quran defends them, alhamdulillah. Also, because it's suitable to the time and the topic, alhamdulillah, that we should all be thinking about Sham. And Sham is the land of Anbiya alayhimus salam also, alhamdulillah. And Sham is the land of Sahaba kiram, radiallahu anhu. Even though Sahaba went so many different places, alhamdulillah. So I want to mention some of these Sahaba who are buried there, alhamdulillah, in Aqsa and in Sham, alhamdulillah. Some would be rare Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, and that would be the purpose, so that we learn more of the names of the Sahaba kiram, radiallahu anhu. For example, one amazing Sahabi, Jandara ibn Khayshana, radiallahu anhu. So Jandara ibn Khayshana ibn Naqir ibn Murrah min Bani Malik ibn Nadar, radiallahu anhu. So this Sahabi came from the Kinana clan, and he's also known as Abu Qursafa. Abu Qursafa. And when he narrates hadith of Abu Qursafa, radiallahu anhu, he was a Sahabi who grew up as an orphan. He was impoverished, and subhanallah, he was cared for in the society of Medina Munawwara. Now, this Sahabi, such a great Sahabi, but interestingly, historically, there's not much we learn about every Sahabi. There is a lot of information about many Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, but sometimes what we know about a Sahabi is very minimal, because the information reached us like that. But what we know is every one of them were the best of the best. And alhamdulillah, every one of them was special. And every one of them, we analyze those who we don't know much of from those who we know much of. But sometimes the little we know about them also is very special. So what we know about the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he lived in Baytul Maqdis. And he led the people as the imam of Asqalan. Asqalan is exactly inside the Gaza. He led the people in Asqalan for 20 years. Allahu Akbar. While we're mentioning Hazrat Jandara, radiallahu anhu, who's also known as Abu Qusafa, radiallahu anhu, and we're mentioning that he led the people as imam in the Salah for 20 years. I would also want you to remember this hadith, Allah Aisha's hadith, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for the people of the graveyard. And he repeated this dua. So Hazrat Aisha asked, radiallahu anha, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you referring to Madinah Munawwara, Al-Baqiyah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I refer to Asqalan. Allahu Akbar. And at that time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uttered these words, interestingly, Islam had not entered the lands of Sham yet, and specifically Bayt al-Maqdis yet, or Asqalan yet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was prophesying that the time would come like today, in these times where the Muslims would be oppressed and would be made to suffer, and the entire region becomes a graveyard. It seems that that hadith refers to what we are facing in today's times. Allah help our ummah. So this Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Jandara, led the Salah for the people of Asqalan for 20 years. And he passed on, and he was buried in a town called Yubna. That's the name of the town. Yubna is where the Sahabi is buried, and that's also in Quds, alhamdulillah, on the western region of Quds, alhamdulillah. Another Sahabi will mention to you, who also passed on in that region of Quds, is Abu Jandal. He's, inshallah, a famous Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, and all of us should learn more about them. Abu Jandal ibn Suhail ibn Amr. So let's try and remember. Abu Jandal, the son of Suhail bin Amr, bin Abd Shams, bin Abd Wud, bin Nasr, bin Hassan, bin Amir. So Abu Jandal, radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made effort in Makkah Mukarramah, and many embraced Islam. And the elite of Makkah, a lot of them embraced, like Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Ali, radiallahu anhum, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah, Hazrat Abu Salama, Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Awf. These are, subhanAllah, they were from the elite of Makkah. They came from the noblest of families. They came from the noblest of tribes. So I request one and all. Today when we talk about da'wah, we think it's only to speak to someone who we find it very easy to speak to, or someone who won't tell us anything, and no, this person is, you know, so impoverished, they won't say anything. Give them a few plates of food, give them a few pennies in their pocket, and then they're ready to say the kalima. Now, feeding people food, that's a really meritorious, charitable task. MashaAllah, continue with that. And alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful thing. Feed people food, make ikram of people, make khidna of people. But what about the intelligent people of the community who are also, part of them are also non-Muslims? Who's going to speak to them? Who's going to talk to them? Who's going to converse with them? Who's going to explain the beauty of Islam to them? Like our Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did. And like our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Like the Sahaba radiallahu anhu did. Allah give us tawfiq. So among them is this Sahabi. So what happened was, some of the elite refuted Islam and rejected it. And some of them stood up against Islam. They stood up to advocate and to call people to remain firm on shirk and on the belief of their forefathers. And in the front row of those who stopped the people, Ya Allah, was none other than Suhail bin Amr. Now we all know Abu Jahl did that, right? But Suhail bin Amr would stand up and articulate so eloquently why the people should not embrace Islam. And whenever people used to come to Makkah Mukarramah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go out of his way to meet them, to visit them, to invite them to Islam, and also to serve them wherever possible, to make their khidmah, make their ikram, because Nabi, that's part of humanity, make people's ikram, be of service to people, but also to invite them to Islam. And you and I can learn from you. Sometimes a person is a taxi driver. Sometimes a person is a ticket agent. Sometimes a person is a specialist, a physician, a doctor, a lawyer, a scientist, a businessman, an entrepreneur. Allah bless you in all your wonderful endeavors and faculties and fields. But also utilize the field Allah has given us to obey Him, to remember Him, to serve the community, and not to usurp and embezzle from them, but also serve the community, and also wherever we can, seize the opportunity to inspire them towards the truth. We should utilize the position Allah has given us to do the same. So this Sahabi, Abu Jandal, his own father was Suhail bin Amr. He was known as the Khatib of the Quraysh. The orator. he was the orator of Quraysh. And the most, one of the most senior, he was part of the parliament of Quraysh. And he was really eloquent, and he utilized his eloquence and his capacity in stopping people. He would stand on the hills and lecture why people should not embrace Islam and so forth. Look at Allah's doing, subhanAllah. And look at our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's efforts. The same man who's stopping the people from Islam most audibly, his own son embraces Islam. One was, now, not only his son, his children. His one son was Abdullah, famous, right? We'll tell you where he passed on, amazing Sahabi. Then his daughter was Sahla bint Suhail, radiallahu anha. And then his son, Abu Jandal, who we are discussing. Abu Jandal bin Suhail bin Amr, radiallahu anha. Look at how Allah Ta'ala does it. You know how many times I approach a person, this Sahaba's lives inspires all of us. You know, and we give them literature. And most of the time they take. Sometimes they say no. Many a time, their friend next to them would say, you know, can I have? Many a time the man would say no. But in the car, the wife would say no, but I want. You know, so it's ajeeb how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it happen. Just next to them, another person takes. So it gives you himmat. Okay, this person doesn't want, but don't stop. I'm remembering recently, I was speaking to an Afrikaner in one of the stores, just getting some coffee for myself and my brothers because we were traveling and we went for a program. And with Allah's Father, even if we when you give some coffee, Allah gives us tawfiq, we make the intention, Ya Allah, we want to give da'wah, we want to invite the people to you. So I got speaking to a guy, an Afrikaner chap, who got to know some, who knew some people in Newcastle, and we got discussing. And he says, you know, he sells livestock to certain families here. And in that, I spoke to him about Islam, spoke to him about the Qurbani, spoke to him about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. He was quite amazed to know that the Quran speaks so highly of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. It was astonishing to him. And when I gave him the literature, he happily, readily, enthusiastically accepted it. Quite a big built Afrikaner, wearing his khaki. Anyway, in that, while I'm waiting for my coffees, there's another guy. He happened to be a local brother. He was also driving a very nice car. I got speaking to him. And then when I was offering him the literature, he says, no, man, I would not take that. What is this that you are giving me? So, in that he says, but if I give you, will you accept? So I said, of course. I said to him like that. Anyway, he took it reluctantly, and as he walks away, I said, I'm just in humor telling him, don't forget your literature, I also want it. So he's looking back, he's telling me, no, but why you didn't give them Lungu, the white chap there? So I tell him, see, and he looked closely, that man was standing on the side already reading the booklet I had given him. I gave him quite a few different topics because he was really interested. So it happens like that. The one person refuses, and subhanAllah, Allah makes it that others want the truth. And it happens on journeys also. Somebody will say, no, thank you, no problem, give others. Somebody doesn't want to know about Islam, say, no problem, you talk to others. Alhamdulillah, more people want to know. More people are awaiting the truth. So here, interestingly, Hazrat Abu Jandal embraced Islam, and his father was enraged. His two sons and his daughter are in the front row of the Muslims of Makkah Mukarramah. He is advocating falsehood. Allah gave his own children hidayat. Yeah, Amara Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke mehnat. This is how our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made efforts. Those who were enemies of Islam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not deprive their own children from hidayat. And Allah is the giver of hidayat. Meaning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not deprive them of his efforts. He made effort on them. Sahaba kiram made effort on them. Interestingly, his daughter was married to, subhanAllah, one of the senior Sahaba's wives, Abu Hudhayfa bin Utbah's wife was Sahla bin Suhail. Sahla, what a nice name for a daughter, Sahabiyat's name, Sahla, radiallahu anha. So here as well, alhamdulillah, it's very interesting in history when Suhail bin Amr, Suhail means to be approachable, to be soft, and Suhail also refers to a very bright sky, a very bright star in the sky. Anyway, Abu Suhail gathered his children, especially Abdullah and Abu Jandal, and he was enraged and upset. How could you all do this? Denounce Islam. And he put them through torture. He couldn't bear it because his sons were not prepared to forsake Islam. He loved his children. But imagine, he locked them up in that dungeon. He used to bring food for them, but they were locked up in Makkah. Then something very interesting. A few years went by like this. Sahaba radiallahu anhum then migrated. So after a few years of Islam in Makkah Mukarramah, then Sahaba radiallahu anhum left Makkah Mukarramah and they migrated to Medina Munawwara. And these two brothers could not, because they were incarcerated and locked up in the dungeon. Now happens the occasion of Badr. So one of the two brothers, he, when his father came to bring something for them, he says, you know, I'm thinking, I'm realizing now that, you know, what was going on was not right in Makkah. It wasn't right. It was too much of corruption. It was too much of, you know, opposing the truth and our people. And, you know, he made a long story. So his father's eyes started lighting up. He's thinking that his son is now seeing the light. He says, Abdullah, are you realizing now that your father was on the right? He says, yes, you know, I'm sorry for what happened, father. He says, Abdullah, you want to join us? The other brother, who's the softer of the two, but Abdullah was very, very firm. He can't believe what's going on. He's hurt now. How can Abdullah do this? And Suhail now feels that Abdullah is ready to fight alongside his father against the truth, against Islam. He gets Abdullah released from the dungeons of Makkah. And Abdullah is out now. Everyone is preparing for Badr. He's also getting ready. Abu Jandal is depressed. His father, his brother is losing his iman. After some time, Abdullah comes to see Abu Jandal quietly, in privacy. He says to him, my brother, do the same. He says, Abdullah, is it a plan? He says, yes, but I couldn't tell you. I didn't want no one to know. But it's a plan. Why don't you do the same? We'll get out of here. We'll go by our brothers, our real brothers. Hey, Abu Jandal's eyes lit up because his brother didn't lose his iman. But he says, you know, I won't be able to. But I'm going to protect my iman. I'll stay right here. How will I fight on the one side and my father's on the other side? While I'm in this incarceration, let me protect my iman here. And Abdullah went. And when the Mushrikeen were camped on the one side, and the Muslims were camped on the other side, subhanAllah, as soon as Hazrat Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, the son of Suhail bin Amr, found the opportunity, he ran to the side of the Muslims and he hugged them and he greeted them. Oh, Suhail bin Amr didn't know where to put his face. But another ajeeb thing, Muslims won the Battle of Badr, and among the captives was the same man who used to stand up on the hills of Makkah, on the mountains of Makkah, and address every entourage entering Makkah, warning them not listen to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his magic that he will spread. And he used to lie to the people coming and speak ill of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, utilizing his eloquent capability, utilizing his rhetoric. And now when he was a captive, next to the Masjid al-Nabawi, even next to the Masjid al-Nabawi. Why? So that they could see the beauty of Iman. They could see the environment of Deen, the environment of Dawat, of Ta'lim, of Dhikr Ibadat, of Khidmat. SubhanAllah, how Sahaba were feeding the captives like guests. Sahaba would feed the captives before they would eat, and they would say, our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be kind to the captives, treat them with character, treat them with ihsan. Istawsu ilal usara khayra. Be good to them. You're amazed. And they noticed Sahaba then eat after them. Sahaba eat the leftovers. They gave the captives their guests first. But Hazrat Umar sought the permission of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And, oh Allah, Nabi, I want permission. That man who used to stand up against you and lie and use his power and his capability and his capacity and his muscle, his political muscle and his eloquence of speech against the truth, allow me to pull out his front teeth. I don't want him ever to stand up for falsehood again. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned to Hazrat Umar and said, Umar, Islam does not allow mutilation. We don't mutilate people. Oh Umar, one day you will see from that same mouth what will make you happy. Look how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, subhanallah, saw this khair. The same man who did what? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is expecting goodness from such a person, that Allah will give them hidayat. This was the fikr of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, there Hazrat Abu Jandal, who is our discussion today, he is in incarceration and he gets the news of what happened to the Muslims in Badr and how the Mushrikeen were taken captive, and his own father was in imprisonment. He couldn't believe it, and he was so elated and overjoyed that subhanallah, Allah granted the Muslims victory. Allahu Akbar. Look at Iman. He's locked up here. His own father is a captive, but he is happy that Allah granted the Muslims victory. And he knows Sahaba don't oppress anybody. His father is captive there, but subhanallah, when his father got released from captivity, he actually was closer, quite a few leaps closer to Islam. This is the beauty of Deen. And many Sahaba, subhanallah, after leaving captivity in Medina Munawwara, and they went back to Makkah Mukarramah, they were so inspired. Not even a few months later, they went to Medina Munawwara to embrace Islam. That 15, 20, 25, 30 days, according to different Sahaba, different captives, waiting their period there, waiting for the ransom to be paid. Alhamdulillah, that had such an impact on them. Allahu Akbar. Maybe we'll discuss a little more on the Sahaba, Al-Khazad Abu Jandal, and other Sahaba buried in the regions of Sham, as Allah gives us more opportunities. But this Sahabi, amazing, Abu Jandal, radiallahu anhu, the son of Suhail bin Amr, who later Allah gave him hidayah also, subhanallah, radiallahu anhu. He lived an amazing life. He participated in the conquests, and he was shaheed during Imwas and Amawas, this plague in the 18th year after Hijrah, in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, which was also, this also took place in the northwest region of Quds, subhanallah. This Sahabi is also buried there. So inshallah we'll do a list of the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum that have passed on and that are buried in the lands of Sham and the lands of Quds and Palestine. Allah accept us for his deen. Wa barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala al-nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.